With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna. Yeah!
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday to you, as we are 2 days away from the Buffalo Bills taking on the Minnesota Vikings, and things are getting more interesting by the minute, Ryan Talbot. He is Ryan Talbot. I'm Matt Perino. This is the Shout, Buffalo Bills football podcast, brought to you by Topps Friendly Markets. And you can enter for a chance to win $1 million right now. Each week, Kings Hawaiian is pitting two city sliders against each other in the ultimate showdown, and you get to help decide the winner. Vote weekly for your favorite regional slider for a chance to win all season long and earn entries towards the $1 million prize. Explore the interactive stadium to play games, get recipes, share photos, and so much more. Visit topsmarkets.com/redzone to enter. And Ryan, they, those Bills, they're playing, they're hopefully trying to, for Bills fans' sake, trying to play chess while everybody else is playing checkers, because I think nobody really knows what's going to happen on Sunday.
No, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I do either, but man, oh man, Matt, and I can't wait to hear your opinion on this. It almost felt staged today. The fact that you see Josh Allen out there right when the media can come in and he spots them and runs off, picks up his brace off the field and runs off into the back. It feels like they're definitely playing games with the Vikings. You list them as limited. You put them on the injury report. That video surfaces, and all of a sudden, maybe the Vikings were saying, okay, 5% chance this guy plays against us. You see, and now you see this though, and it's like, well, now we do have to game plan a little bit for him just in case. And the Bills could even play more mind games tomorrow and elevate a guy like Matt Barkley and make him think it's going the other way again. That's the beauty of the NFL. That the fact that you can do all this stuff, list him as questionable, because he is. He's hour by hour now, according to Sean McDermott. And we really don't know, like you said, what's going to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think like the one thing I keep coming back to is what Stefania Bell said earlier this week, and it's like it could be like on a wide range of outcomes based on the injury. Like a lot of people want to talk about the injury that he had his rookie season, and maybe it's not as severe as that one is, and maybe that's why the Bills are more likely to give him a chance to play on Sunday. Now, the one piece of this that keeps having me kind of go back to thinking that he won't play is not practicing on Wednesday and Thursday, like being in the locker room, talking to the guys, like Isaiah McKenzie saying, you know, he'd been kind of like a coach on the sideline during the practice portions the first couple of days. The Bills aren't in the habit of letting guys not practice during the week and then putting them in on Sundays. Now, that might apply differently to Josh Allen, because he is the offense, right? Like he knows this thing, you know, like the back of his hand. And if he can go out there and throw the ball, we don't have any intel on what it's looked like with him throwing the ball, and obviously by design here. And to your point, even if they call up Matt Barkley tomorrow off of the practice squad, which I think they would probably have to do to keep doing this like back and forth, you could do that four times with Barkley over the course of the season. You could call him up with the idea that Josh Allen is still going to play on Sunday and then just not activate Barkley on Sunday. So the mind games are going to continue, and it's going to force all the way till the last minute the Vikings to prepare for both players. And they are different players. Like the Bills have talked about this week, how they're not going to change their offense. And yeah, they're not going to change like the skeleton of their offense. But I just think certain plays probably get taken out based on Keenum's skill set. He can get out of the pocket. He can, create plays out of structure, but not in the same way that Josh Allen does. So they're going to have to win a little bit differently in this game. They're probably going to have to employ the run game a little bit more. And that affects the game plan for the Minnesota Vikings. It's why you've seen the tiptoe dance all week.
Yeah, Barkley, first of all, great point. You can activate these guys and elevate them, you can elevate them, and you don't have to activate them on Sunday. They can be inactive. We've seen that numerous times with different players throughout the last few years with Buffalo. So something I'm anticipating happening. When it comes to the game plan, I agree completely, Matt. The skeleton can kind of stay the same in terms of what you want to do. You're not going to see, though, those design quarterback runs with Case Keenum. There was that video that was shared on social media yesterday where he got tripped up on one of those tackling dummies and almost fell backwards. Didn't have the same kind of agility and grace that a Josh Allen has in those scenarios, and it showed on a play like that. So, you know, there's things that you can do. If Allen plays and if Keenan plays, I could see their offense being very similar in that I think getting the ball out quickly is going to be part of the game plan no matter what. If it's because of Keenum, it's because he doesn't have that the escapability of a Josh Allen. If it's Josh Allen back there, you don't want him taking hits to that injury. So I think that's going to be the same. I think you're seeing more of an emphasis on the run game with Singletary, with James Cook going in and playing a game against his brother. You're going to see some different wrinkles, whether it's Josh Allen or Case Keenum at quarterback on Sunday.
I'm looking at the weather report right now for Sunday, and it's calling for a mix of rain, potentially some snow, high of 41, low of 31. So that could also impact things. Like, you know, if the elbow is dinged and you're worried about Josh Allen, you know, throwing the ball a lot, that might not be the kind of game where you do throw the ball a lot. You might want to like rely on your run game, whether it be him out of structure or Devin Singletary, James Cook. We can talk about that in a little while. The Cook brothers finally meet. This was a game that James said that he circled on the calendar when the schedule first came out. And I think we can, let's talk a little bit about the run game too, because that's something that has to be deployed against this Minnesota Vikings team. How are the Bills, in your estimation, poised to bounce back from kind of a lackluster performance in the run game against the Jets? Because in a lot of ways, we're seeing them trust James Cook a little bit more. But does that mean that in this game against his brother, he's going to get more opportunities in your eyes?
Maybe. I guess maybe is the best way. I think you're going to see more of a workload for Devin Singletary first and foremost, Matt. Even if Allen plays, I think that this injury, and I don't want to say there's a silver lining to it, because anytime your franchise quarterback gets dinged up, that there's really nothing good about that. But the one thing that I'm going to say is it's going to force their hand in terms of running the ball more. And that's good news for Devin Singletary. And that's good news for James Cook, because they did try to get Cook more involved in this offense and runs to the outside, letting him use that speed and that burst. So I see both being involved, but I see Singletary getting that 12 to 15 at least minimum carries in this game. And we saw what that did for this offense against the Packers and against the Chiefs and what it did for Singletary. Cook himself, I've liked what I've seen from him. He had two really tough runs, I thought, in last week's loss to the Jets, where a defender popped him or hit him pretty good, and he bounced, stayed on his feet, bounced off of it, and kept moving forward. That's what you want to see from a young rookie at this point in this season, where he was known more as being that pass catcher. What was he going to do as a runner? And then when it comes to the offensive line, last thing I'll mention about the run game, Spencer Brown looks good, you know, based on the injury report. Questenberry was dealing with a groin injury, and he's been practicing the last few days. So I think this offensive line is going to be healthier than it's been as well. And that bodes well for Devin Singletary and James Cook.
The Minnesota Vikings are giving up 111 yards on the ground per game. One of the best run defenses in the league, probably in that second tier after that, you know, really good group. You know, the 49ers, Titans, Ravens, and Rams are four of the best teams against the run, allowing less than 100 yards per game. Then it's the Chiefs, the Bills, actually, despite the last two games, they're still kind of hanging in there in the top 10. And then the Vikings are in the mix there with the Jets and the Jags. So this is a team that, you know, statistically speaking, I mean, if you can run with your running backs, if Case Keenum plays in this game, if you can get upwards of 90, 100 yards in this game, I think you like your chances. That means you're moving the ball. That means you're probably getting some things done in the running game. And I also don't think that if Keenum has to play, he's somehow – the drop-off is so significant. There's a drop-off from Allen to Keenum, but it's not going to be that significant to where I don't think he's going to be able to find a rhythm and find a way to make plays in this offense. Could he go out there and throw three interceptions and the Bills lose by a couple scores? Of course. That's always part of this thing. But the thing to me that stood out about Case on Wednesday was talking about the fact that he's been in every single situation that there is to be in this league at the quarterback position. He's been a starter. He's been a guy going in a training camp as the third quarterback that had to earn his place. He had to play in the middle of a game when he was the backup. He was put in as after a guy got hurt. Obviously, the Sam Bradford injury back in 2017, you know, gave way to his most successful season of his career. So I think that, you know, he's had time to download this system, get to a place. Ken Dorsey's had time to, you know, learn him as a player as well throughout the spring and the summer. And now they're probably going to put in a package that they think can be successful with Keenum. And listen, talking to all the guys in the room, and I know they're not going to, like, you know, come off of their confidence level at all. I mean, that's just not in their makeup, but there, it does seem to be a genuine confidence in what Case Keenum can do as a passer.
Yeah. And Larry in the chat, no, Allen is not out for sure. He's listed as questionable on today's injury report. We're just saying in the event that Case Keenum plays, there's confidence in him. And yeah, I agree. Again, you're not going to see him throwing the ball almost 70 yards downfield like Allen did on that final offensive play, but he can throw it around. He can hit those short intermediate routes. He can. He has a really good receivers to work on. And yes, we've talked about the fact that Gabe Davis has not looked great the past few weeks, that the slot position has been a letdown overall this season, but he still has Stephon Diggs. He still has quality receivers in Gabe Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, a rookie like Khalil Shakir, Dawson Knox, and then some running backs that can catch the ball too. So there are going to be avenues and targets for him to hit in this passing game where they can move the chains. It's not going to be the same offense if he plays, but the one thing that Brandon Bean has done a really good job of these past few seasons is finding a quality backup in the event that something like this happened. You know, Mitch Trubisky, say what you want about him, but he came in this season in Pittsburgh in a game against Tampa Bay and helped lead them to a victory. Maybe he wasn't meant to be a full-time season type of starter, but he can come in those spot starts and do that. And I think Case Keenum can do it too. To Matt Barkley's credit, early on in his first tenure here with the Bills, he had to get called in and he had some success.
That to me still is one of the most improbable performances that I've ever witnessed in pro sports. Like in off the street and have that game against the Jets. I still think about that sometimes. That's wild.
It was quite the performance. So the Bills, you know, they're going to have a plan in place if it is the Case Keenum show on Sunday. And I'm not going to sit here and say that there's no chance, no avenue or path for the Bills to win this game, because it's in any given Sunday league. We saw, I mentioned already, in Dallas, multiple wins for Cooper Rush. I've seen Andy Dalton win some games this year with the Saints. So backups win in this league, and it can happen, even though they're going against a very good Minnesota Vikings team.
One of the best teams in town is over at Topps Friendly Markets. And right now, Christmas bonus is going on, and tis the season to save on groceries and all of your favorite gifts. Christmas bonus is underway at Topps Friendly Markets, which means shop at Topps and save $10 at all of your other favorite stores and restaurants. With over 25 gift cards to choose from, there's something for everyone on your list. And don't forget to treat yourself to some extra savings too. Save on great gifts like toys and games from GameStop or Toys R Us at Macy's, great family dining at Applebee's or Buffalo Wild Wings, that new big screen TV you want from Best Buy, and so much more just by shopping at Tops. Be Santa's biggest little helper with Christmas bonus from Tops. And for a complete list of available gift card savings, visit topsmarkets.com/Christmas bonus. On Sunday, Ryan, you mentioned Spencer Brown getting potentially back here. He's got a really good outlook going in to the weekend. He's been dealing with that high ankle sprain and had some really good practices this week. You saw him, you know, working. I saw him out there working back in with the group. And you look at the challenge that not only Spencer Brown, if he plays, or Questenberry and Deion Dawkins face, and it's like, pick your poison, really. I mean, you know, Za'Darius Smith is one of the premier pass rushers in the game right now. And listen, I know the sack numbers aren't at, you know, what you'd probably expect from Danielle Hunter, but on the other side, potentially a lot of the time going up against Spencer Brown, it is going to be tough sledding in there. And that to me is the biggest challenge for whoever plays quarterback, is how do the Bills neutralize this pass rush? Because they've done a good job against certain defensive fronts when they've had to really game plan to take a specific player out. But I feel like one of the reasons the Jets game was so difficult is because of, you know, production across the line. And I'm not comparing this Minnesota defensive line to that, to these guys, but the more work I've done on them, they just on both ends present a really big problem. Smith in particular, that matchup against Dawkins is going to be must see TV.
How do you counter that? Well, you counter it with the screen passes, the quick passes. I think this could be a sneaky game where Nyheim Hines ends up with 4 or 5 receptions minimum. That's, you know, that's why they kind of brought him in to be that factor. And I know whether it was, you know, Case Keenum out there on the practice field, they were able to maybe build a little bit of a rapport this week and get an idea of what he can do and do well. If you can hit on one of those, a screen pass or a quick pass where the defense is in the backfield and you can get a big hitter there, all of a sudden that defense that wants to pin its ears back and go after the quarterback kind of has to sit back a little so they don't get hit with another play like that. So, you know, that's Buffalo's best offense possibly is making the Vikings defensive line have to sit back and play a little, maybe feel a little uneasy about we can't attack them because they've already hit us with a big hitter to Hines, or maybe it's to James Cook, even Singletary. Singletary's been very good catching the ball these past two seasons when given the opportunity. So they can hurt you with their backs. They can, you know, the depth of target for Josh Allen the last few weeks has been pretty far downfield. I think you can see them going back to those quick hitters, getting it in Diggs's hands and letting him do the work after the play. Same with Gabe Davis and company. So that's going to be the best offense for the Bills, in my opinion, Matt.
Let's go to the back seven. Before we do, I saw a comment in there about Spencer Brown. He was full in practice on Thursday and Friday. No designation on the Friday injury report. So all signs point to Spencer Brown returning. You know, you had Dane Jackson on the injury report early in the week. He was limited with a neck injury. He's been full the last 2 days. Kyer Elam went from limited with the ankle on Wednesday to did not practice the last 2 days. He's listed as doubtful. You have Tre'Davious White, who's kind of been in his day-to-day slow crawl over the last couple of weeks, probably has his best chance to return this week. And now with Kyer Elam banged up, there really probably couldn't be a better time for this, Ryan Tal. But I know that they have a lot of faith in Christian Benford. And I think that if they have to go in with Dane and Benford, they'll be fine with that. But this could be the spot to bring back Tre'Davious White and maybe throw him into that rotation role with Benford or Jackson, however, which way you want to go.
Yeah, you said it. This is a great opportunity. It's a home game. Get that, you know, the crowd will go wild if he is active come Sunday. If the 11:30 inactives don't have him on it, the crowd's going to get fired up for that. You can have him in the rotation. The Bills have a lot of confidence, as you mentioned, in guys like Christian Benford and Dane Jackson. So he's not going to have to be out there for 70, 80, 90% of the snaps. You can ease him back in, which I think is Buffalo's plan of action. That being said, Matt, you know, let me just quickly say, I think the Bills will miss Kyer Elam to a certain extent. We haven't had to really talk about him the past few weeks. And when you're not talking about cornerbacks, it's almost like cornerbacks and offensive linemen. If you're not talking about them, it usually means they're doing a fairly good job. And I think he's really come on as a rookie this year after obviously a lot of talk early in the year with Benford getting the start over him. There's one game where he was picked on a lot against the Steelers, but I think he's had quietly a really solid rookie season for Buffalo. So being down one outside cornerback here, it's going to be a little bit tougher, but potentially bringing back Trey White, it couldn't happen at a better time with a pretty good pass catching arsenal that the Vikings have coming into town.
Speaking about getting guys back, the Bills will get Matt Milano back on Sunday. And to me, that storyline, I'm surprised that we got 18 minutes into this podcast and it's the first time we're talking about it, because I had it in the title before the Josh Allen news broke. And it's a huge development because we saw the effect on this defense without Matt Milano. Obviously, Jordan Poyer already being ruled out along with Greg Rousseau. We'll get to that in a minute. But having Milano against this defense, I mean, you got to get to the ball carrier. And one of the guys in this game that things are moving fast, Ryan. We're doing a lot of things this week. Josh Allen watch has been pretty crazy. But I will tell you what, I went back before we did this podcast and watched the Commanders versus the Vikings. I have it up on the screen here right next to me, finishing it out here. And TJ Hockenson in his first appearance with the Vikings, goes in there and has almost 10 catches and was a real threat for them in the passing game. And you take Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, obviously a really good wide receiver duo. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment as well. But TJ Hockenson, to me, if Milano's not available in this game, one of the best off-ball coverage linebackers in the NFL, I think the Bills are really worried about that particular matchup, and this kind of quells it a little bit. But man, TJ Hockenson's a guy to watch in this game. He could have some real success against the Bills.
Yeah, I was actually shocked that the Lions traded him in division, a former first round pick, and it's someone that was a very good player. Just obviously maybe the offense didn't suit him in Detroit, but for whatever reason, they felt comfortable putting him in Minnesota. First game, you mentioned it. 9 catches on 9 targets, 70 yards. I mean, talk about throwing a guy into the offense immediately and getting an impact out of him. And that's exactly what Hockenson did on Sunday last week. So he's someone that you have to worry about. Having Matt Milano back in the lineup is going to really help in that regard. He's going to really help in terms of the run defense. I know he was in that game against Green Bay at times when they were running on him, but they missed him last week. I really think you could have seen a different outcome in that matchup had Matt Milano suited up and played. In the Encouraged Worried article, I said Milano and Jordan Poyer, there's your, you know, you can make a case for both of those players being your defensive MVP through the almost midway point of the season. So to get him back is a big win for the Bills going into Sunday's matchup against Minnesota.
Tremaine Edmonds is listed as questionable. He has now gotten a groin injury that's been added to that heel issue that he's had the last couple of weeks. And that's troubling. And I think we got to dive a little bit into what this looks like now, potentially with Milano getting back and no Edmonds, because it's great to get Milano back. You like them both there healthy. What do you think the plan will be? Because Terrell Bernard came out last week in place of Matt Milano, and it did not look great. And I know sometimes Sean McDermott likes to, you know, maybe pull things back for rookies when, you know, they struggle. And you got a guy in Tyrell Dotson. You know, really, you got a couple guys. You know, Tyrell Dotson, I think you could put Tyler Matakevich in that role. I know you rely on him quite a bit on special teams, but, you know, I think Dotson could be the play right there next to Milano.
Yeah, Dotson's a no-brainer for me in terms of getting him into the lineup if you're not going to see Edmonds on Sunday. Obviously, Edmonds listed as questionable, still a chance for him. But I feel like Dotson, when he's had to play and play in place, especially of Edmonds, has looked the part. He's played pretty well. A very, you know, I don't want to say no drop off, but it hasn't been a significant drop off between Edmonds and Dotson. And Dotson has shown really good athleticism and speed on the field. So I would feel pretty good about the Milano Dotson pairing if that's the way they have to go. And I don't want to sit here and write off the rookie Bernard, but it was a very rough debut in terms of his first NFL start. And in terms of his skill set, I think he is more of the Matt Milano type of linebacker, size, speed than a Edmonds anyways. So going with Dotson and Milano, it's not saying anything about the rookie. It's just simply getting your best pairing out there based on their skill sets. Edmonds hopefully can play, but if not, that doesn't mean that you're not going to see Bernard out there in a reserve role. He'll get some snaps. He'll get some opportunities, but again, kind of ease him into that action because the inexperience really did show on Sunday last week against the Jets.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We got to get into our keys to the game, and brought to you, like every week, it's brought to you by Value Home Centers. And you can get over to Value right now. Check out their weekly ad over at the website. I mean, you can get, you know, they have deals on paint, grilling equipment, all the best tools and toys that you can find. It's all laid out in their weekly ad. You could join their text program by texting Value, V-A-L-U, to 80692. You'll start saving even more by receiving exclusive coupons and weekly deals and so much more. So our keys to the game, Ryan Talbot, drop it on me. Some unknown here, but what is your key to the game?
I hope I'm not stealing it from you because we were talking pre-show. So if it is.
Oh, you are, Ryan. You are.
Then you go first.
Ryan Talbot. No, go ahead.
All right. Getting after Kirk Cousins is the key to the game. And Matt, you were mentioning it, you know, watching some of these Vikings games. This offense is not necessarily built in Minnesota to get the ball out quickly, kind of what Zach Wilson and the Jets did against the Bills last week. He holds the ball. He's trying to get the ball to Justin Jefferson down the field, rightfully so, when you have a wide receiver of that ability. And you have Adam Thielen and you have TJ Hockenson and company. So it's up to Von Miller and the players that are going to have to step up opposite him without Greg Rousseau in this lineup, AJ Epenesa, Boogie Basham, Shaq Lawson, to get after Kirk Cousins, to hit him, to bat some balls up into the air, create some turnover opportunities. If the Bills can do that, get a short field here or there, Case Keenum in this Bills offense or Josh Allen in this Bills offense, not writing off Josh Allen yet either, can definitely win this game.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of ping pong that with back and forth with you here because we were talking about this before the show. And I just went over to AJ Epenesa's locker today just to get a kind of a download with him. I haven't caught up with him in a while. Great. First of all, great dude to talk to, like always super warm and, you know, insightful. He gives you real, really good stuff. And I asked him about, like, you know, now the first half of the season, like, what do you think about how you've performed so far? And he's like, you know, listen, you know, you always want to be better, but like the way when teams are getting rid of the ball, like he mentioned the stat under 2.5 seconds, it's really hard for the front. Like you can win your one-on-one matchup, but if by the time you get there, the ball's gone, it's almost like a fouled rep in a lot of ways, but you're doing your job. So teams that tend to hold the ball a little bit longer, I feel like that's where this four-man front has a chance to really make an impact in this game. So I totally agree with you in terms of a key to the game is getting after Kirk Cousins. Watching this game against the Commanders last week, and obviously they don't have Chase Young, but they got some really good dudes on that defensive line. Even still, with the talent that they have, there were some times I had the timer out and he was getting like 3.5 seconds to throw the ball, sit in the pocket, survey the field. You do that with the weapons that he has, including TJ Hockenson now, it's a death penalty, man. Like it's not going to go well for your team. So I totally agree with you, but I will. I also think it's very interesting. A little stat here. Kirk Cousins has been pressured, which means pressures, quarterback hits, and hurries all combined, according to Pro Football Reference, more than any quarterback in the NFL, 85 total through this point of the season. So, yeah, get after the quarterback. But to add another key to the game, because, you know, every week we got to do two value keys to the game, I am going to say it is time for Gabriel Davis and Dawson Knox, but I'll put it mostly on Gabriel Davis to step up in this offense, no matter who plays. Josh Allen, Case Keenum, we talked to him yesterday and he was honest. He said there's some things that he'd love to have back, you know, some plays that haven't worked out. And, you know, when he's been good, he's been great in this league. And he has that ability, that big time playmaking ability. It looks like he's kind of been grinding this week. Like, you know, you could just see sometimes when an athlete is in the zone a little bit, he's just looked a little bit more engaged, a little bit more. Even look after the game last week, he looked kind of despondent as he was doing his post-game press conference. And he's used to having some big games in his 2.5 years so far. And obviously last week wasn't one of them. So I think one of the keys to the game, especially if Case Keenum plays, is guys like Gabriel Davis stepping up and making plays for their quarterback, whoever that ends up being, because this could end up being a close game, Ryan, and all of those kinds of plays, they tend to add up over the course of the game and gives you a better chance when you get close.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Getting it to Gabe Davis, getting to Dawson Knox. If I had to flip the coin and give a second key to the game, offensive line has to protect whoever is at quarterback on Sunday. You've already mentioned some of the pass rushers that Minnesota has, whether it's Case Keenum or Josh Allen, those quarterbacks need to be protected. Obviously, in the case of Keenum, he does not have the athleticism of a Josh Allen. He's not going to be able to roll out the way that Allen is in some of those areas where the pocket collapses somewhat quickly. And then in the case of Allen, if he is the starting quarterback, you have to protect him. You have to make sure that that injury, there's no chance of that injury getting any worse, Matt.
Before we get to our predictions, because we end every preview show with our prediction portion, I'd like to talk a little bit about Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson. It's amazing. Yeah. That storyline is really just deflated this week. It's something that when this game came out on the calendar, I mean, everybody thought it was going to be Stephon Diggs week. And of course, the Josh Allen injury probably changes things to a degree. But even Diggs, when he talked on Wednesday, it's like, it made me think about it. He's like, he's a completely different person. Of course, player, but person than the guy that arrived in Buffalo a couple of years ago. He's been able to mature. He said he's getting older and he reads more. And I just think all of the buzz about this first time that he plays his former team, it's gone because of the sense of how much has happened since then. You know, if it had been kind of more of a flatline situation and maybe not as much success, but he's been one of the best, if not the best receiver in the NFL since 2020. And when you have that kind of success in a new place, it's almost like this was meant to be, because Justin Jefferson, that is that dude over there in Minnesota. And so it's like both teams, like we've talked about in the past, they got great new situations, helped, especially in the Buffalo side, unlock the quarterback that was already that they were developing here in Josh Allen. So all good things, I guess, from both sides of this thing.
Yeah, it was a win-win trade. So that kind of deflates the storyline a little bit. It's not like Minnesota went out and drafted some bust or a cornerback that might be matching up against them. They got one of the best wide receivers in the league in Justin Jefferson. So that worked out in both parties. The fact that this wasn't a game that was that season after the trade or something like that, I think that factors in. You said it. Diggs has become, he's, I don't want to say matured because he was always a mature player, but you said it, he's someone that's maybe not as upset about the way things ended. He had a lot of great things to say about Minnesota this week and the organization, and he's never really bashed any players. He just needed to get out of that organization, become a number one wide receiver. He felt that was not something that was being given to him in Minnesota, and that immediately happened in Buffalo. So there's no real ill will. He's going to be really happy to see some of those guys that are still in the organization that were his teammates back then, obviously Thielen being one of his best friends. So with Allen's injury, with the Cook brother angle, there's just so many layers to this game, Matt, that Minnesota miracle as well with Case Keenum potentially playing. There's just so many storylines that it almost did get buried, which seems shocking at this point.
It's prediction time of the show, Ryan Talbot. And I'm going to go first this week because I always let you go first, right? And people probably think that I just copy.
I'm going to put it down in my phone to see if, in case we're in the same wavelength again.
Yeah. Here. And for people that are watching, we literally never tell each other what our score prediction is. But every week, was last week the exact same one?
Same exact score.
Right. And so we got tweets that like responded to our preview story and they're like, yeah, you guys same do know score? That you have the same score in there. It's like, yeah, that was literally just what our score predictions were. All right.
I have it typed in.
I did again. I'm sticking with it. I put this in at the beginning of the season and I waffled a little bit over the course of the week, but I think I've arrived back on this. No matter who plays, I think the final score is going to be Buffalo 20, Minnesota 17.
Okay, we're in the same wave. I have the Vikings winning this one, though. 24-17 for the Bills, though. So, I mean, we're in the same ballpark with the score range. Low scoring
okay,
affair.
Okay.
Vikings 24, Bills 17.
Here's where I think the Vikings are going to struggle in this game. I think that, you know, for a team that can beat you with the pass, they obviously have Dalvin Cook. They want to run the ball. I don't think they're going to have a lot of success in that department. I think Von Miller probably has had a pretty intense message to the group this week about getting that thing right and not having to answer questions about that on Sunday after the game. And so I think they'll do really good against the run and then force Kirk Cousins into some interceptions. If you can get around Kirk Cousins, hit him, sack him, make him play off balance, that's when I think you're going to really start to find some success. You know, some turnover on downs, perhaps. Although, one little note, I was going through the media book. They don't go for it on fourth down that often. I think they're like something like 3 for 6 on the season. On fourth down this season, the Vikings are 3 for 5, 60%. Teams are converting at 50%, 7 for 14 against them this season. And the Bills are also 7 for 14 themselves this year. 40%, 40.4% on third down also. So this is an offense that, listen, they haven't played a lot of tough teams. They have some really good players on both sides of the ball, but I think that they've just been coasting a little bit. And I think this is a game against a pissed off Bills team that's going to find a way to win. And I think this is the Sean McDermott. Like, if you wanted to kind of put together a list of things to happen leading up to a game to give Sean McDermott the ability to jack up his team for a game, this is the perfect opportunity. You might be down your starting quarterback. You got your ass kicked last week in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I mean, can you just imagine the meeting rooms this week and the messages that he was sending to those guys and the kind of juice they're going to come out and play with on Sunday? Jordan Phillips was walking around the locker room today with a t-shirt, and it said, no, I don't like to swear on the show, but it just said, fuck them. And that's what it said in big, bold letters. And so I think that that's kind of the attitude that they're going to bring into Sunday. And so I'm sticking with the Bills. I think they're going to win 20-17. And I think it's going to be a very close game.
Yeah. And listen to the people in comments saying neither of us think Allen's going to play. I literally think it's a 50-50 coin flip. I just think that if he plays, the Bills are going to come in with a little bit different of a game plan, still focus on running the ball, making sure he limits the hits that he takes. So I don't see that being as high scoring as usual. Yes.
Every once in a while, we get a little spicy, Jake. We got to keep you guys. We like to think of this as a very family friendly show. But sometimes we just got to bring you, you know, the raw, uncensored truth from the locker room. Now, we're not going to bring you uncensored video from the locker room. That would be a bad idea. And yikes. Throw that out there. Listen, it's a real dangerous game that we play in there, because you really got to get the shot in tight. I do some like cell phone videos sometimes. I put one out of Gabe this week, Isaiah. You just have to really be careful. And I know that the person that I think was there from 2 isn't usually there. I've not seen them around a lot at sports things. So that's tough to like knowing the dynamic of the room. If you don't know what we're talking about, I guess just hop over on Twitter. We're not going to get too far off.
Yeah, we had a blood moon this week and a full moon this week, if you've been covering the Bills. So a little bit of both full moon coverage here at One Bills Drive.
All right. I think that's going to do it. Yeah, we're going to end on the moon note. But for all of your for all of your game day and tailgating spreads, Tops has you covered.
There's a transition. Perfect. Worked out beautifully. Tell us more about those spreads at Tops, Matt.
Dude, this is off the rails. Okay. Can I read this, do you think?
Yeah, you got it.
The Carryout Cafe, Ryan Talbot, it doesn't even have to be game day, Sunday. It could be any day. Hot to go, fresh, large, and cheese.
$14.
Yes, you know it by now.
Yeah.
The jumbo chicken wing count. 10 count, $14. The legendary breakfast pizza, $20. The taco log, 6 counts. Pizza logs, too, $7.69. Baby back rib sections, $5.99 a pound. Sub sandwiches, wraps, apps, sides, so much more. Visit topsmarkets.com/redzone for the complete menu of ready to enjoy fan favorites. I think we'll get out of here on that note.
Yep. The Bills player could have used a wrap on a few days ago, right?
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Shout, a Buffalo Football podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.